It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. You might have heard the saying that when you go to the theater to see certain movies, you must check your brain at the door, which might be nice on occasion, but there are only so many bang-em-up, shoot-em-up films a person can see. And as with eating chocolate, if you eat too much, it tends to make you ill and send you scurrying to the art house for cinematic sustenance. But for the time being, moviegoers can go to their neighborhood megaplex and find plenty of offerings with which to sustain themselves. Joining us now to parse through those films is Post-Gazette film editor Barbara Vancherry. Barbara, it's your first visit with us. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. It's nice to be on.
Now, last night, it's, of course, getting very close to Halloween, and lots of scary movies are coming out, and you had a chance to see something called Ouija, a preview, as they say. What can you tell us about Ouija, which I'm assuming refers to a Ouija board?
Yes, it does. And it's a PG-13 rated horror movie, and I think it's an example of what you could call anti-product placement, because after you see this movie, I don't think you will ever want to go buy a Ouija board or, you know, blow the dust off the one that you have in the closet. It's about a teenage girl who commits suicide, and her best friend decides that she wants to both say goodbye and try to ask her some questions by using a Ouija board. So she and four others gather in the home where the girl died and get the Ouija board out, and, of course, scary things start to happen. So if you're an adult and you've seen something like The Exorcist, I don't think it will make you quake or shake, but it seemed to, you know, entertain the teens and tweens who were in the audience.
So I'm guessing this is something that's a little more cerebral than a movie where you've got a guy with a goalie mask pulling out a chainsaw.
A little bit. I mean, you have people who, you know, they see a face in the mirror and their bodies are then, you know, yanked across the floor. So, and mysterious messages begin to appear. You know, it is what it is. I think it'll probably do well with the intended audience. And, you know, there was a girl who, as we were filing out, I heard her say, you know, are they saying this is a true story? Because there's something that they show at the end that I guess she somehow thought maybe it was, and she seemed kind of scared by that possibility. It is not a true story, but I thought, well, that, you know, it sort of, you know, hit home for her. And some of them actually did turn off their phones during the movie, so that is the real sign of attention.
Well,
you know, these days.
There you go.
Yes,
true, genuine homage to
right.
A new film, and. Of course, there are some films that have been out and that are doing very well at the box office, films that you might not necessarily expect to see, you know, bringing in the big bucks because they don't necessarily have a superhero, although the film Gone Girl does have a superstar in Ben Affleck. This is a movie that's been out, but I think it's worth talking about because I'm sure there are a lot of people who still haven't seen it. What about this film, and why do you think, Barbara, it's doing so well at the box office?
Well, it's based on a hugely popular novel of the same name, and I think a lot of people who read the book passed it along to friends. I know I bought it for someone who was going into the hospital, and she said she was up late, you know, when she should have been asleep, you know, reading the book. It has a lot of twists to it, and I think people have been very careful about not giving those twists away either after they've read the book or seen the movie. It has an interesting cast, you know, Ben Affleck, Rosamund Pike, who was here in town, you know, a couple of years ago in Jack Reacher, although it was a smaller role and not that many people knew who she was then. It's a movie that I think women can go to, you know, as a group, a girls' night out, but I've talked to a lot of folks who have gone to it with their boyfriends or husbands, although a lot of them do tend to sort of dislike the ending intensely, but nevertheless, you know, it's 2.5 hours long and it does hold your attention. It's got an interesting supporting cast. You know, people like Tyler Perry, who plays a lawyer and does a really nice job. It's kind of surprising. Neil Patrick Harris turns up in it. And it does have kind of a corrosive, cynical look at, marriage or perhaps this marriage, but, and it's directed by David Fincher, you know, who, did all kinds of interesting movies, including The Social Network, you know, Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Fight Club, Seven. So he does do dark, intense stories, and this falls into that.
And before we move on to some of the newer releases, there's another film that has been out about as long as Gone Girl. It's called The Judge. It's another movie that is not a bang 'em up, shoot 'em up, even though it has people who've starred in those kinds of movies. Robert Downey and Robert Duvall are in this film. Explain what this is about and the dynamic here.
Well, it is a drama. Robert Downey Jr. plays the middle son of the Robert Duvall character. He is the judge of the title in a small Illinois town. And when Duvall's wife dies, the Downey character comes back for the funeral. And, you know, he sort of gets into it again with his father and vows he's never going to return. And he's nearly out of town when the father is pulled in by the sheriff for questioning in a suspicious death. So he comes back. Initially, he is not the actual representative for the dad in terms of the courtroom, but he does step up. So it's a family drama. There's a lot of melodrama. It's a long movie. It's like 141 minutes. There's a lot going on. You know, the Downey encounters his old high school sweetheart who is still in town. You know, there are surprises about the family splits along the way, but the fun thing or the entertaining aspect is to watch Robert Downey Jr. in a movie where he's not wearing the Iron Man suit and to watch him interact with Duvall. So despite the various problems, I think it's worth seeing just for those two alone. It hasn't done that well at the box office. It just hasn't struck a chord with people, but I did find it, you know, watchable because of them.
Right. You know, Robert Downey Jr. has certainly asserted himself as one of the top actors in Hollywood in the last, you know, decade or two. And Robert Duvall, one of the greats of all time. Brad Pitt, certainly a guy that brings him into the box office, brings people into theaters, or as they say, puts butts in seats. He has a movie out called Fury. And this is a World War II-based story. It sounds very interesting, and I believe it's just coming out.
Yes, it came out last week. It's set in the waning days of the war. It's April 1945. It's about a crew of men who, you know, work in a tank. And they've been together, you know, through various campaigns through the war. One of their members dies, and a newcomer is brought in, and he happens to be, as the script calls for it, a kid from Pittsburgh. He was trained to be a clerk typist, and he is brought in to be an assistant driver in the Sherman tank. And the Brad Pitt character is the commander of the tank crew, and he has to try to initiate him into the, you know, the ways of war very fast. You know, this kid shows up and sort of asks, well, where's the front? And they're in Germany, so the front is all around them. So it's an intense movie. It's directed by David Ayer, who wrote Training Day and wrote and directed End of Watch with Jake Gyllenhaal, and it's a good look at war. It is, you know, it doesn't flinch from, you know, what people had to do. It's not based on a real story, but the guys in it did spend time with some real World War II veterans, and they used some real tanks and. So it does have that air of authenticity about it, but it is hard to watch at times. I mean, you know, Logan Lerman's character is forced to kill someone he doesn't want to kill early on and kill more people and understand what war is all about. So it's, you know, it's not the sort of, you know, warfare movie that we sometimes see.
And the fact that a World War II movie is being made and people seem to, you know, the World War II themed stories on film, even the more recent ones, really seem to have an audience. Why do you suppose that is, Barbara?
Well, I think, you know, people think of that as a good war where people were fighting for, you know, something that meant something. A lot of these veterans are dying off. Or sometimes, you know, those of us who had fathers or grandfathers who fought in the war, they did not talk about any of this. So in a way, it provides a historical look at how things might have been, you know, because obviously we're not watching a documentary, but, and, you know, I'm sure there are echoes of, you know, wars going on today, but, And this is something I don't think we've necessarily seen before, where, you know, these guys are living in this tank. They're bonding. This is, you know, where they're spending their time. And you see the view from the tank, you know, as they're looking across the field, let's say, and firing at the enemy. So, and the other attraction, of course, is the fact that, you know, that Brad Pitt is in it, Shia LaBeouf, you know, who's been in the news for all the wrong reasons,
right,
for, you know, getting arrested and acting kind of crazy. And he's really good in this movie. And Logan Lerman has fans. You know, he was in the Perks of Being a Wallflower that was shot here. Michael Pena and John Bernthal round out the crew. So I think there are a lot of reasons, you know, why people would want to see this at this time. You know, fall tends to be the season when grown-ups can come back to the theater and not find that it's only superhero or comic book adaptations on the screens.
We're talking with Post-Gazette film editor Barbara Vancherry from the Post-Gazette newsroom, and a couple of films that are just out, or one that is just out, St. Vincent with Bill Murray. What can you tell us about this?
Well, it opens tomorrow in theaters here in Pittsburgh, because we do sometimes get things a little bit later than others. And it's a dramedy, so it's got some elements of drama and comedy. And he plays a guy who at the very beginning is not at all likable. You know, he's a gambler, he's a drinker, he's grumpy, and he finds that his next-door neighbors are a woman who's separated from her husband, and she and her 12-year-old boy move in. And the boy, you know, comes to him one day after school. He has no place else to go, and the Murray character, Vin, becomes his unlikely caretaker. He's charging the mother, you know, to watch him. And so he just takes the boy along wherever he goes. If he goes to the racetrack, if he goes to the bar after, he tries to teach him how to break the bully's nose, because this boy is slight and he is taunted and bullied by others. And the beauty of it is, you know, Bill Murray's highly entertaining. The little boy, his name is Jaden Lieberher, is great. Melissa McCarthy plays his mother. Naomi Watts plays a pregnant Russian prostitute, which seems like a character that...
Wow.
Yeah, I know. And the movie is written and directed by a man named Ted Melfi, and he has said that he was inspired when he lost an older brother, and he and his wife then adopted the brother's 11-year-old daughter. And they moved her to their home, and she went to Catholic school and had an assignment about, you know, investigating a saint and then someone, a modern-day character who embodied the qualities that saint had. So it's nothing you haven't seen before. You know, I mean, About a Boy was about a, you know, sort of a child-phobic bachelor who, you know, took to a kid in somewhat the same way. But I think the cast makes the difference here, and sort of the blend of material. It's just entertaining. It is PG-13 also.
Quickly, let's talk about a film that is opening next week, Birdman, which stars a Pittsburgh native.
Right, right. You know, it took the world by storm back at the, I think it was the Venice Film Festival, and we had a screening a couple of weeks ago, and I think two of us used the same word when it was over, and that was brilliant. You know, I think Variety called this like the comeback of the century, but a lot of us know Michael Keaton never went anywhere. He's always been doing great work. He's always been underappreciated, underutilized, but it sort of seems like he spent his entire life working up to this point, and this is the perfect movie for him. You know, he at the moment is the leading contender for the Best Actor Oscar.
Wow.
And it's way too early, you know, to put any money down, let's say, but he's really good in this. And, you know, he plays a one-time superhero, an actor who is mounting a serious play on Broadway based on a Raymond Carver short story, what we talk about when we talk about love. And it tackles all kinds of questions and issues about, you know, critics and movie actors versus stage performers, confusing adoration for love, the cost of what his career meant for his marriage and his daughter. Emma Stone plays his adult daughter who's now working as his assistant. She's fresh from rehab. Edward Norton plays this actor who's brought on when someone else steps out of the play, and he gets into it with the Keaton character. So there's just a lot going on. It has some, you know, sort of surreal, some elements that are surreal and, you know, kind of magical, and it may leave some people scratching their heads at the very end, but it's really well acted by him. I mean, there are moments where his character is wearing a toupee and he peels the hair off, and it just sort of feels like, you know, that's, you know, he's putting it all out there. So I just, you know, our review will be in next Friday after I finish it.
Okay.
And, he's really, really good. And I think people will like the movie.
Talking about Michael Keaton in Birdman and Barbara Vancheri giving us a preview of her review. We won't have time to talk about the movies being shot in and around Pittsburgh this year. But when those movies come out, we can talk about them as well. Barbara Vancheri, who says fall is the time when it's safe for adults to go back to the movies. She is the film editor for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Thank you so much, Barbara.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
And coming up, our travel correspondent has some ideas for fall getaways. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.